So my name is Cornelius Curtis, and I'm from ETH Zurich, and I'm going to talk about COS. COS is a set of primitives and the underlying mechanisms for sharing data in multi-core systems. This is joint work with Andrew Bauman and Chris Hobligel from Microsoft Research, Tim Harris from Oracle Labs, and Timothy Roscoe from ETH Zurich. So the big picture motivation for this work is heterogeneous multicores. And in particular, we see this new emerging class of processors that have asymmetric performance across cores, and they might have things like different instruction sets for different cores. So things like discrete general purpose GPUs or Intel MIG, for example. And our specific platform that we target is actually an Intel MIG prototype. This is based on the Knight's Ferry accelerator boards, and this is essentially the progenitor of the newest Xeon Phi cards that are available publicly today. The cards have 32 cores, each with four threads, and the instruction set is very close to x86, but not exactly x86. For example, it has some extensions for vectorization. So the whole platform looks like this, and we have two NUMA nodes, each with a Nehalem processor, each with 8 cores, and we have two accelerator cards connected to the PCI Express, and the cards have their own memory. And there are two ways to view this platform. One is as four distinct NUMA domains, or as three coherent islands. And this is because between the cards and the host, we need to transfer data using typically DMA engines. So one of the issues with these architectures is that they break many of the traditional operating system assumptions. And one of them is that they present hardware which has asymmetric performance and asymmetric cores and potentially different instruction sets. Another one, which is probably more important, is that you cannot have global and cache coherent shared memory anymore, which means that you cannot build an operating system using shared data structures. And the question then is, how can we build operating systems for these architectures? And there are two different approaches. One is we take an existing operating system, say Linux, and then we modify it, potentially adding drivers, and we run an instance of this operating system in the host and then in the accelerator cards. And this gives us something which it's very close to a cluster. So we call this approach a cluster on a chip. And there are several problems with this approach, and most of them stem from the fact that we cannot have a single operating system instance across the whole machine. And typically, we will treat accelerators as devices rather than a part of the whole system. And there are works that try to solve this issue by making accelerators like GPUs a more like the coprocessors they are, but we take a different approach. And in particular, we follow the multi-kernel architecture to build our operating system. And the idea here is that we treat the operating system as a distributed system. And as such, the fundamental operation for building such a distributed operating system is message passing. So our architecture is based on message passing, and we don't assume any shared memory. And this allows us to have a single operating system that can run across all cores, including the host cores and the accelerator cores. And then we can do things like process management, file systems, or networking, or IPC across all of the cores of the system. Of course, the process management might not look as the traditional Unix process management, but again, we are able to do that over the whole system. The particular implementation that we're using in this paper is Barrelfish. which follows the multi-kernel architecture. However, there is no real dependency to this particular implementation. One issue with multi-kernels is that because by design they exclude sharing, they make it really difficult to manage bulk data. So this is for things like I/O buffers or networking or large computations on big data. And because the multi-kernel architecture forces you to do copies using message passing, which is typically okay if we talk about messages for a few bytes, for example, or a few cache lines, if we consider large amounts of data, then we want to have an actually effective way of sharing it. And this is what COS tries to achieve. And the challenges of solving this problem is that we need to have the same way of sharing data across all different architectures. So we need to support, without programmer knowledge, cache coherent set memory, non-cache coherent set memory, or even distributed memory architectures. And we should take advantage of the underlying architecture. For example, we should actually share data when we can by doing page remapping. And then when we cannot, we should utilize DMA controllers to perform copies when we can. So the basis of COS is essentially a set of primitives for transferring buffers between applications. And we define three set of different transfers, and these transfers differ in the way that permissions on the buffer are handled. So moving a buffer requires full access on the sender side. So we require both read and write access to the buffer, and then once the buffer is moved, the sender loses access while the receiver gains full access to the buffer. The second operation is share, where we assume that, where we require that the sender has read access. It can be either read-only or read-write. Once the buffer is shared, the sender and the receiver both have read-only access to the buffer. And finally, there's the copy operation, where, again, the sender has read access, and then once the copy is performed, the sender maintains the same access rights, and the receiver gains read-write access to a copy of the data. Now, there are some design principles that we base these modes in, and one of the most important ones is that writes never get upgraded. And this allows us to exclude read-write sharing from our design. And read-write sharing is really complicated, even if you only assume shared memory architectures. Furthermore, we need to make sure that all of these operations can be implemented as copies, because we might not have underlying architecture that supports shared memory. And so all of these operations do permit things like DMA transfers. And in some cases, even if we can share memory, it's actually beneficial if we have a small data set to actually do the copy rather than doing the page remapping. And finally, we need another design principle in COS is that where the buffers appear on the application's address space is not controlled by the application. Instead, it's controlled by the COS system, and this allows us to do several optimizations when we actually perform the transfers in a shared memory environment. So based on these three primitive operations, we built on top of that two additional features so that we can make COS practical. This is weak transfers and aggregates, and I'm going to start with weak transfers. So if we consider that we have a shared memory architecture, actually doing the page remappings can be costly because we need to go and update the page tables and potentially do TLB shutdowns, which might take a lot of time. And as we as we can see, in many cases, it's not actually necessary to do to update the mappings. And one example is trusted services, where we actually trust the other end not to break the operation semantics. And another example can be threads of the same application using COSAS and IPC mechanism. So a weak transfer allows is a mode of transfer that allows the COSAS subsystem to defer the change of the permissions of the buffers for later, or never do it. An example is weak sharing. So a sender of a weak share must not may retain write permissions, but it's trusted not to actually go and write the buffer. As a second feature on top of these transfers, we build aggregates. And aggregates try to solve the problem that page granularity is not the most programmer-friendly way to access bulk data. So aggregates try to handle cases where we need byte-oriented APIs like POSIX read or write, and also handle things like different page sizes on different cores. So aggregates essentially add a byte granularity buffer access on top of basic page buffers. And we take this idea from IO Lite. And one particular design principle in COS is that across a transfer, there is no guarantee that the structure of the aggregate will be maintained. And again, this gives us the opportunity to do several optimizations, such as defragmenting the aggregates. Now, here's an example of using COS. This is essentially something very similar to a Unix pipe. And the right end performs a move operation, and we enforce this operation to be strong, because we don't, the two endpoints don't trust each other. And on the read side, we call COSAGRECEIVE, which is the function to receive a buffer. And one interesting point is that the receiver can actually check the mode of operation, and the COS system will ensure that it will get the right values. So the receiver can actually check that this is indeed a move operation and that this is a strong operation, so that after the operation is complete, it's the only process that has access to this particular buffer. And this implementation uses zero copy when it's permitted, that is when there is a shared memory underlying architecture. A more complicated use of COS is a file system. So basically, we developed a file system that provides aggregates for POSIX like read and write access to files which are stored in RAM. And an interesting point is that, so there are two different actors. In this example, there is the file system service, and then there are the clients. And the clients will issue requests such as read and write. And an interesting point is that because we have to trust the file system service anyway, because it holds our data, we can perform the read operation as a weak share. Because, again, we can trust it, so we don't need to enforce all the page remappings. Contrarily, we cannot trust the client, so for writes, which basically are transfers, we transfer buffers from the client to the file system service, we need to implement it as a strong share operation. And writing this file system, we don't need to do anything so that we can run it on MIG cores, because if we write it using COS, it will just work as it is across host cores or across host and MIG cores or even across MIG cores. So for our prototype implementation, we ported BarrelFish to MIG. So this is essentially a heterogeneous system of x86 and MIG cores, and we use sharing where possible, that is inside the host cores, and we use DMA between the MIG and the host cores. We use asynchronous C, a language extension, to actually write cores. And this is a very simple user space implementation, so the performance is, well, not great. So let me show you some performance numbers. So this graph shows three different types of transfers between cores residing on the host. The bottom one is, or rather, let me start with the top one. So the top one is a copy operation. And as a copy operation, as we increase the size, then it takes more time. This axis here is latency in thousands of cycles, so lower is better. Then we have the red line, which is a strong move. And in this particular case, because the cores share memory, we implemented using page remappings. And the cost of the operation kind of remains the same. An interesting point is that there is a size, a particular size, for which actually doing a copy is faster than doing the page remappings. And finally, the bottom line is a weak move operation where we trust the two endpoints for the transfer, so we don't actually perform any page remappings. This is essentially the same graph, although in this case it's between a host core and a MIG core. And because in this case we always have to do a DMA transfer, we don't have different lines, because if copy is essentially the same with a move operation. The top line, again, the axes are size and then latency for the operation. The top line is essentially the cost of one-way transfer latency, which has a very big cost, as you can see, is roughly around 550,000 cycles, the overhead of a DMA operation. We are not sure at this point whether this is a driver problem or a hardware problem. And we are able to mitigate it to some extent by doing pipelining. So if we pipeline multiple transfers at once, and then measure the mean interval line, we get the bottom line, which is a bit better, but again, the cost, as you can see, is relatively high. Finally, this is a performance evaluation of a panorama stitching application. The way we implement this is that we run the application on Linux, and we gather a trace, and then we replay this trace on Barfish. And there are three different rows in the results table here. The first is RAMFS, and this is the traditional RAM file system we have in Barrelfish, and it can only run between cores of the same host. And we get something like 145 microseconds. COSFS has basically the same performance across host cores, but the added functionality is that we can actually run it between host cores and coprocessor cores, which is this number here, which is, as you can see, very high. It takes, for the same operation, it takes about 50 seconds to do the stitching. Now, to get an idea of where the performance problem is, we implemented a perfect CAS for the COS file system, so we only do DMA transfers for compulsory misses, so we only fetch the data once. And this gives 2.5 seconds, which is a bit better, but again, the difference is pretty high for compared to the host cores. Based on these numbers, there seem to be two issues with our performance. One is the overhead of the DMA operation, and the other is that the cores on the MIG are much, much slower than the cores on the host. So both of these factors play a role in the low performance we get. So in terms of related work, there are two areas of work that we draw upon. The first is high-performance I/O systems, like Iolite, from which we got the aggregate API. And this systems talk about essentially how can you do fast, how can you represent bulk data to do fast I/O. And the second is the operating system support for specialized cores, and then things are the multi-kernels or similar works that have been driven by the limitations of GPUs trying to making GPU something that the OS can handle, like, for example, Ptask. So to conclude, COST is a new abstraction for managing bulk data. It can be used within the operating system for networking, I/O buffers, or sharing large amounts of data. And it can exploit said memory, but it doesn't rely on it. Thank you for your attention.
Could you explain that experiment where you added shared memory? You had the cache, sorry. And so you eliminated, I guess,
yes,
capacity misses, and you got only cold misses while the performance improves. I just missed.
I can't hear what you're saying. You actually use what?
Why it is that the performance actually improves so dramatically when you eliminate capacity misses, right? You just have cold misses.
So in this case, the client resides on the MIC core, and the server resides on host. Every read operation to do the panorama stitching on files will result in a DMA operation between the host and the... In this case here, we built a cache. And basically, we maintain parts of the file in the cache. It's essentially a perfect cache because we can make it as big as we want. And we only fetch the file once.
So you have less DMA operations?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Hi, Ardalan Amirsani, Rice University. Very nice talk. I was wondering if you have looked into an implementation for GPUs, because, for example, some of the GPUs I work with, they don't have like page tables or permission bits, so the features that you're using. And what are the new challenges you're facing there, or how you can address them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question. So there is this range of accelerators which start with something, with the original GPUs, which are very specific, and then there is like this trend to make it more general purpose and more suitable for running an OS there. So we haven't looked at GPUs in particular, so I don't really know how this can be mapped into GPUs, because if you don't have permissions, then you cannot really enforce anything. But yeah, to me, the hardware trend seems to be to make these devices more general purpose. So I expect more and more of them to actually have things like page permissions so that you can do operating system support.
Okay, so basically you have some hardware requirements for an accelerator for you to be able to support.
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that if you need to actually enforce the permissions, you need to have the hardware to do it. I mean, you can do it in the software, but maybe for a performance perspective, that doesn't make much sense. So it's not a requirement per se. I mean, we can run COS on top of GPUs, I think, and then do everything in software, but that would be really slow.
Thank you.
Very interesting work. I was wondering how much you've explored multiple writer consistency models, because in GPUFS we found that GPUFS only goes supports MMAP, but only supports kind of a limited multi-writer model in that multiple processes can write to the same file at once, but they're not full read-write. But we found that even just that fairly essential for the performance of some kinds of applications, where a bunch of, you know, different GPUs are working together on different parts of one file. Have you explored, you know, multi-writer schemes in this context, and or experimented with, you know, what's your take?
We haven't explored it in this context. So in COS, we actually say that there is no read-write sharing. And that's a very strong design choice. A more personal comment would be that if you can ensure that each process will write to a different part of the file, or if you have some versioning, then I think it's easy for the programmer. I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. I think that the most difficult about write sharing is to have a conceptual model for the programmer that they can think how the operations will look like. And things like cache coherency, shared memory, is not that easy to think about because you need to think about memory barriers and all that. So my thoughts on doing write sharing is basically making sure that only that you have a very good conceptual model. And one example might be that only one process can write on a particular place of a file, or you have versioning, where basically you have a different version that you copy and write every time you do an update.
Yeah. Well, we basically did the former, but yeah, I think both are reasonable models that are out there.
Yeah. But we don't we don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
So this is an interesting concept. I really like the idea of pushing things to a higher level, and clearly benefit for programmer. But problem is when you debug your program or you try to understand the performance, you mask a lot of things underneath. So do you have any plan for some kind of profiling, debugging primitive that would explain to the programmer what is going to be performed at a low level?
Not really, from the top of my head. I guess one of the obvious answers is that it depends on the underlying architecture. So if the underlying architecture only allows you to do copies, then you will do copies, so you need to measure the bandwidth of the DMA engine. If instead you have shared memory, you have two different choices. One is do the strong transfer where you need to measure how long the remapping, what's the cost of the remapping, or if you do weak transfers, then it's essentially passing a pointer around. So it's I wouldn't expect to have a big overhead there. But beyond this very basic thing, I cannot think of any profiling help for the programmer to determine what sort of optimizations they can do. And another example might be making decisions like, because for example, there is this point here where it's better to do a copy than doing the page mapping. And we can put that in our system, and depending on the hardware, making the right decision for the user. That might be another example.
Yeah, I fully understand this. What I mean is that at some point you need to explain to the programmer user what's going on. If you want a low understanding of the behavior of a system.
I don't think I have anything reasonable to add other than the thing. But I mean, it's an interesting observation, but yeah, I don't have any other comments on top of what I already said.
Great talk, Cornelius. So you carefully said that you're not going to use this for inter-process communication on different processors. For your applications and other envisioned, are you planning to use just message passing for that purpose, or you're going to rely also on some lower level, shared memory locks and things like that?
So I might have misspoken. So we do indeed plan to use that for IPC, for inter-process communication.
No, I was asking about synchronization, not communication.
Oh,
you
right.
need to synchronize over various uses of shared memory and things. Mm-hmm.
So everything in the multi-kernel architecture, everything about synchronization, we do it with message passing. So we don't do any logs or any...
Okay, thank you.